One, two. Am I on? Am I on, Bob? Okay, I'm on. Let's see if I can get the other one to work now. Hey. Look at that. We got a picture. It's amazing. Gwen, where are you? There you are. Beautiful. Did she do a good job or what? That was blessing. That's one of my favorite hymns, by the way. And he did a super, super job. And it's good that God gives some folks talent to the rest of us. We just have to make the best of it, you know. But I thank God that you're here this morning. Amen. How many are here this morning? Right. Hey, look, that's most of you. Yeah, that's good. All right. How many would rather be here than in the mental institution this morning? Where some of you belong, you know. I won't say anything about Harry back there. All right. 2 Kings chapter 6, please. 2 Kings chapter 6. And did everybody get one of the handouts, Bob? You know? Anybody didn't get one that needs one? Okay. I get. Oh, got a couple here, Bob. Can we get a couple? You got any more? Oh, you got some more. Okay. Very good. Okay. 2 Kings chapter 6. I'm going to ask you to stand in honor of the Word of God. If you can stand, please. Please do that. And the title of the message is Losing the Cutting Edge, or the Lost Axe Head of God's Power. And we're going to read this passage, the first six verses. I want you to really focus on what God says in His Word here. It says, "And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make a place there, where we may dwell. And he answered, Go ye. And one said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them. And when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. And as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, Alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, Where fell it? And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick and cast it thither. And the iron did swim. Therefore, said he, Take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it. And let's bow our hearts in prayer. Father, we thank you for this passage of Scripture. And there are so many lessons in this passage and so many things that we need to learn. But we believe that it's about doing God's work with God's power. And so this morning, we would ask that each person here, beginning at the pulpit, would be filled with the Spirit of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. We ask, Lord, that every person may respond in their hearts to what is preached today. Lord, we believe America would be a different nation if all of God's people would just get to the place where they were filled by the Holy Spirit of God. We believe the world would be a much better place if God's people would be just filled with the Holy Spirit. We ask now that the Holy Spirit of God may hover over this place and stir our hearts and remind us of the principles of God's Word in this passage in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. I want to give you just a little background of this passage of Scripture. I'm sure many of you are familiar with it. Elijah, the prophet of fire, has died. Well, actually, he didn't die. He got taken to heaven in a whirlwind of fire. And I think a picture of the rapture of the church. One of these days, we're going up and away, amen? And we won't even have to wear our Superman costume. But the good news is this, that though Elijah left, he left his power and his calling on his protege, the one he had been mentoring, named Elisha. Elisha prayed and asked God for a double portion of Elijah's power. And right now I'm teaching about Elijah in Sunday school in our home church. And oh, by the way, pray for our home church. Today is our grand opening for our new building. We finally, after 9 years of meeting in a hotel room, we're finally in our own church building. And it's beautiful, and the preacher's been praying all week to be filled with souls today, especially some unsaved people who will get saved. Last week we had 5 saved, 2 baptized, and I don't know how many visitors we had. We had a lot right from the neighborhood, so we're in a good position to grow. My pastor will probably never forgive me for missing opening day, but your pastor, wanted me up here because of the surgery and the complications he's had. But in any event, Elisha prayed for a double portion of Elijah's power, and he got it. And I'm teaching about Elijah, and Elijah performed 7 major miracles. Elisha, who asked for a double portion of his power, performed 14 miracles. So God answered his prayer. And he is a wonderful man of God. And after I finish Elijah, then I'll be studying Elisha in our adult Sunday school class. Now, Elijah's gone to heaven. God's power is now upon Elisha. And he's performing miracles. He's attracting other prophets who want to learn from him. So he starts an organization called the School of the Prophets. And the school starts to grow, and it outgrows its facilities. And so this young man comes to, it says in verse 1, "And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, Go ye." And so, like every good Baptist, when you outgrow your facilities, you start a building program. And Elisha, who is a good Baptist, started a building program. However, when one man was chopping down trees, he lost the axe head that he was using, and it flew off the handle and flew into the water. Now, part of the problem was he was cutting too close to the water. And, of course, the power of the axe is in its head. And so when he lost the axe head, he realized that he could no longer chop down trees. He lost his power. And several years ago, I preached a message here called Don't Lose Your Head. And it was about the same passage of Scripture, but this is an entirely different kind of a message that we're preaching today. Now, I see a picture of the Spirit of God here who is filling this young believer, this young man who is in the School of the Prophets. And he's working away, man. He's chopping down trees. And while he does so, the axe head flies off. And he can't just go pick it up because it flew into the water. He was too close. He was cutting too close to the water. And I'm afraid that what I see here is that it's a picture of the Spirit-filled believer who tries to minister too close to the world. And he loses his power. The axe head of his power. It attracts. The world attracts the special God-called young men and young women. By the way, right over here in this section, there's a few young people that I want to direct this message to. I really think God wants to use you and need you to pay attention to what we're preaching here today. You can't work for God without the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm afraid a lot of people don't understand that, brother, but it's true nonetheless. So, number one, here's this guy, and he's out there chopping down wood to build a new place for the School of the Prophets, and his axe head flies off and it goes into the water. And God's axe head of power can be lost while we're serving the Lord. You know, it seems like Every person that I've ever known who got backslidden while they were trying to, you know, being faithful in church and so forth and so on. And the next thing you know, they start missing the evening service or the Wednesday night service. And then pretty soon, instead of sitting down here in the front, they start moving to the back. I believe there's something about the geography of a church that tells you a great deal about people. And now I'm not talking about you folks who ordinarily sit in the back. That's your business. But if you used to sit up here, and then the preacher sees you moving this way and sit where this man is sitting, and then the next week he sees you sitting here, and pretty soon you're in the back, the next step is out the door. And I used to worry about people who changed their seats in church. And Mrs. Walsh did that this morning. She always sits over here when I'm here, and this morning she's over there. I don't know what's going on. I won't bother to ask, but don't move any further back, okay? Or we'll get worried about you. Now, what we need to do is we need to beware the pull of the world. The further we immerse ourselves in the things of the world, the less of the power of God we have upon us. Are you listening? And it's often when we are doing something for God that we're in the most danger. You know, we get to the place where coming to church and doing things in the name of the Lord and so forth, it just becomes normal. And after a while, it becomes kind of superficial. It becomes kind of, old hat. And we don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to teach Sunday school anymore. I don't want to do a bus route anymore. I don't want to pass out tracts anymore. I don't want to go soul winning anymore. We let down our guard. Listen, the world, the flesh, and the devil are going to get you if you let down your guard. You will lose the axe head of your power with God if you get too close to the world, or if you allow your flesh to pull you into things that you should not be engaged in, or the devil will be able to easier tempt you than he would otherwise. And so you need to be on guard, and we need to know that the world, the flesh, and the devil are just as alive and powerful as they ever were, and they will do everything they can to get you out of the place of service. There are empty pews in this room right now this morning that used to be filled with people who used to serve God in this place. I can name some of them because I knew them. And it just seems such a tragedy. I mean, these were prominent people in the church. They were involved in the church and they're no longer here. What happened? They started cutting too close to the water. They started getting too close to the world. They started looking at their circumstances and saying, why is God allowing this? And by the way, if you were in Sunday school, you might have had an answer for that. Students in Bible college, we used to say when I was in seminary, brother, that some of the best candidates for God's service were the easiest ones, it seemed, to get tripped up. And you know, they were the fair-haired boys and the fair-haired girls of the school. And everybody, you know, thought about great success was in their future, but they cut too close to the water. And they lost their axe head of power. Preachers go out soul winning. And the devil places some Jezebel in the preacher's way. And the preacher falls. I had a couple occasions in my ministry where the devil did exactly that. You know, I actually used to be younger. I know that may shock you. And I actually used to be handsome. That's good preaching, ain't it, brother? And I had two very attractive ladies in our church on two separate occasions who just kind of threw themselves at me. And who, if I had not been spirit-filled, would have fallen for the trap that the devil had laid for me. Some bus worker goes out visiting and knocks on the door of one of her bus kids. And the lady comes to the door. He's a man, and the lady comes to the door and she's scantily dressed or still has her underwear on. And that can be a real trap if he's not careful. In fact, Sylvia Gross, a lady that is friends with both the pastor and I, was in our church. She was a bus captain, and we were out canvassing an apartment complex one Saturday afternoon. We did that every Saturday. And she knocked on the door. And there was a stairway going up. The apartment was an upstairs apartment. And the guy said, open the door. They thought they were going to be invited in, and it was two ladies. And they opened the door, and he's standing up there in his underwear. And he's inviting them in. Now, they had sense enough to know that they should not go in, and they did not. And I was with another man just across the way, and she called us over, and we went in. He wasn't expecting that, by the way. But we went in, and the Lord took care of us, and he protected these ladies. I can say this. In all the years of my ministry, those who were in the place of God's blessing were protected by God the Holy Spirit when they were serving God, unless they got too close to the world. And that's exactly what happened here. A Sunday school teacher is preparing her lesson, you know, and the TV is beckoning. And so she leaves the preparation of her Sunday school lesson and goes and watches something on television. The pull of the world got to her, so the next day she goes to teach her lesson in Sunday school and finds out that she's lost her power. And that's the way it works. She was cutting too close to the water. And this guy is cutting too close to the water, and he loses his borrowed axe head. And so he can no longer do the work of God at this point. Which brings us to the second point. Keep your distance from the world. Make sure you don't get too close. The world is filthy. It's contaminated. It's like, you know, going to Africa where Ebola is rampant and you just don't wear any protective clothing, or you just go there and forget about the exposure. You can't do that. And if you do that, you're going to end up sorry or dead. Realize that no matter how spiritual you are, the world is your enemy. The TV, the computer, Facebook, you name it. And we could go on and on. And by the way, there's too much of this going on. Hello. I know I'm hitting some nerves here, but it's true. We were in a restaurant, my wife and I, and sitting across from us was this young couple. And it was obvious, you know, they were a couple. But they're both sitting there with their heads down, not looking at each other. They're looking at this thing. And I'm saying, are you kidding me? Is that what courting has ended up being these days? Then there's something wrong. Whatever happened to paying attention to each other? You know, it's bad enough when the people get married and ignore each other, let alone when they're just single and they're dating. I hope it doesn't happen even after they're married. Now, you need to recognize this. It is precisely when you are busy for the Lord that the devil will try to attack you and pull you away from anything that you're doing for God. Let me give you a scripture verse. You don't have to turn there. 2 Timothy 4:10. Here's what Paul says about a close worker of his. It says, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." Here's a guy serving with the greatest apostle who ever lived, probably the greatest Christian who ever lived, serving right alongside of him. And now it says, "Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." He couldn't resist the pull, the magnetism of the world. He lost his axe head of power. It was when Demas was being a blessing to the apostle Paul that the world reached out and grabbed him. And listen, if it can happen to a Demas, it can happen to you. Better be careful. How deeply involved do you want to... I'm going to confess one of my sins. It's okay. You've all got them yourself, so... I have rented a movie. It was World War II movie that I just was dying to see. I'm a World War II buff. And I couldn't escape the pull, the attraction of not seeing that movie. And so I rented it. And after I rented it, was I sorry. Because unlike when they maybe would put it on TV, they didn't clean up the language. And as a result, I'm sitting there, and here comes. What was the problem? I got too close to the world. And so I became contaminated with the filthy language. By the way, some of you sit in front of the TV and listen to filthy language on HBO and Showtime and all the rest of those things, and it doesn't seem to bother you. You know why? Because you've been so close to the world that you wouldn't know the Holy Spirit if He jumped up and bit you on the nose. Hello? Now, we need to understand that all of us have the Holy Spirit, amen, who are saved. If you're saved, Holy Spirit of God lives within you. Now, here's what that means. Would you take your children into a place that will contaminate their youthfulness and their innocence? You say, well, no, I wouldn't do that. Well, then why would you take the Holy Spirit into a place that will contaminate you? Will diminish your influence. Will rob you of spiritual power. Where you won't any longer get excited about reading the Word of God, or church will lose its luster. Those empty pews in here where folks used to sit who used to say, amen, preacher, amen! And who used to serve the Lord in this church, they're not saying any amen anymore. And by the way, I guarantee you that they are no longer as happy as they used to be when they were serving God. And if they are saved, the same Holy Spirit of God is convicting them every day of their lives, whether they want to fluff it off or not. God's axe-head of power can be lost by getting too close to the world. God's axe-head of power can be lost when God is blessing. Be on guard whenever you are being blessed. You know, you come forward in a service, the Holy Spirit of God moves you, and God has spoken to your heart about reading your Bible more faithfully, about maybe your prayer life increasing in depth and in length. And by the way, it's not how long you pray. I always wonder about these people who pray real long in public. You know, I wonder what their private prayer life is. I used to have a saying in our church, long in public, short in private. And I believe basically that's the way it works. But suppose God convicts your heart about one of these things, and you come forward in a service, and you kneel down, and you surrender to the Lord in that area, and then you go home, and you let the world into your heart, instead of allowing the Holy Spirit to continue to fill you. You see, we all have the Holy Spirit in us, but He doesn't have all of us that He wants to have. And that takes surrender. That takes saying, okay, Lord, I'm yours. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. And, you know, if we would really pay attention to the hymns that we sing, that hymn, Take My Life. And, you know, then it gets down to take my silver and my gold. Not a mite would I withhold. And some people actually sing that, but they have no desire to turn over their money to the Lord and the Lord's work. It's just strange, isn't it? What we need to pay attention to the Scripture. We need to pay attention to the hymns that we sing, because the Bible says that God inhabits the praises of His people. We need to praise the Lord more. We need to quit complaining and just praise God. You know, my wife has been in pain for the last 4 years. I can't imagine that she played the piano today, because she's had a really bad night and a really bad day so far. But she wants to be used of God. I said, are you actually going to play? She said, well, the pastor asked me to. I said, okay, do it. Now listen, let me just say something. It is so easy when you're going through a trial to just quit serving God. My pastor cannot believe that my wife makes every service. I don't think she's missed two services in 2 years. I mean, sometimes she is in horrible, excruciating pain. All the way on the way up here, an hour and a half drive, she sat in the back like this. And I knew she was in excruciating pain. By the way, I tell her, listen, if you don't want to go to church tonight, it's okay. They'll understand. She said, no, I want to go. And she keeps on going. Some of you woke up this morning and said, oh, I had an eyelash fall out last night. I don't think I can make it to church, you know. Well, whatever. And, you know, you use whatever excuse. You need to be on guard when God is blessing. This man was busy being a blessing. He was cutting wood to build dorms for the prophets of God. He was working side by side with Elijah or Elisha. Look at verse 2. He says, he's speaking to Elisha. He says, let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, take thence every man a beam, and let us make a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. Elisha said, okay, go ahead. Look at his answer in verse 3. And one said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. Now they're working right alongside of the man of God, a man of miracles and blessing. And what happens? He gets too close to the world. And he loses his access of power. It wasn't done purposefully. He was just too close to the water. That's all. He didn't plan it that way. But that's what happened. Our most dangerous time in our life is when God is working on us. He's speaking to us. He's attempting to get us to yield more. An American historian said this, and I quote, history has proven time and time again that it is good fortune and not misfortune with which man cannot cope. He was speaking of our nation, but it applies to our spiritual lives as well. It's when things are going well, when everything is fine in your home and in your family and all the rest of that, that you begin to drift because you get complacent. God has been blessing. I don't have to go to church this morning. I don't have to come back tonight. Some of you have already decided you're not coming back tonight. I know you have. I hope it's not somebody who's been involved in the service like Bob over here, Pastor Bob. I hope it's not Gwen who sang so beautifully this morning. I hope it's not you, if you're here, that you decide, well, you know, by the way, isn't Sunday night still part of the Lord's Day? Hello? And yet I go to churches every week and I see the attendance cut in half on Sunday night. I do not understand that, quite frankly. We still go Sunday morning, Sunday school morning, evening service, Wednesday night, and then go on the road and do whatever we have to do during the week if we have an opportunity to do so. And my wife never says, well, I'm just feeling too bad. I don't think I can go. She just gets dressed and goes, and I have to help her. But I thank God for her. She sets an example for me that makes me embarrassed. My kids say to me, Dad, you're too old to be doing what you're doing. Why don't you just retire? I said, I am retired. And I'm doing the thing that I like to do. And the thing that God called me to do. A couple of weeks ago, some of you know about this. I was in Rio Grande, New Jersey, down near Cape May. I had preached in the morning. I'm driving to the church. It's about 6 miles away. Driving to the church. And I get to the intersection where Route 9 and Route 47 meet, and I'm going to make a left turn in Route 47. There's a Wawa there. That's the last thing I remember until I woke up at 2:30 in the morning in the hospital. But I parked the car. I set up my equipment. I preached a message. People came forward. This is what everybody tells me. I was unconscious. I tell a lot of the preachers, I say, I preach better unconscious than you do when you're awake. Only kidding, folks. But, I mean, I don't remember one thing, nothing. And I've asked the preacher and the people and my wife, I said, you know, how did I do? And they said, well, you preached the word and, you know, people came forward. And then I had the pastor and his family come up and we prayed over each one of them. And they said it was a great night. And then they took me to the hospital. And in the hospital, they said I had a mini stroke and a TGA. A TIA is a mini stroke. TGA, they call it temporary global amnesia. Now, the good news about this is this, that they say if you have one of those TGAs, you'll probably never have another one. So don't get nervous, okay? But if I start, you know, looking weird, I mean, more weird than usual, then don't get nervous, okay? Now, here's what we need to do. We need to guard God's borrowed power, because it's only on loan to us. We don't have an absolute claim on God's power. He fills us as we empty ourselves of other things. And it's a command for every believer, be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not an option. God says to do it. Keep in mind that God's power is only on loan as long as we stay clean. Did you hear that? That means in our thought life. That means in our physical life. That means in our spiritual life. That means when we're walking with God. And we need to guard that which was that does not belong to us. This man said, and I want you to look, please, in verse 5, it says, but as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. He treasured that which he had borrowed. I have a policy that I never forget with Bob Hamlin. I was out in, where was he? Out west, some Midwest. Indiana. I'm out in Indiana. And Sunday morning, he had me preach in another church a few miles away. And so I had no way to get there. And it's about 10 miles away. And I said, Bob, I said, I don't know how I'm going to get there, Brother Hamlin. I said, Brother Hamlin, I have no way to get there. He said, well, I'm going to do something for you. I said, what's that? He said, I'm going to loan you Betsy. And I didn't know whether his wife's name was Betsy or not. I didn't know what to think about that. Well, he pulls up in this Lincoln, but it's, well, like, you know what year it is? It was an older car. Great big boat, you know, one of those great big Lincolns. He pulls up and he says, this is Betsy, and you better take care of her. And my policy is this. I said, brother, you don't have to worry about it. I said, when I borrow something, I try to return it in at least as good a shape as I got it or better shape than when I borrowed it. And so after I preached, I came back to near the church. I found the car wash. I washed the car. I cleaned out the trunk. I vacuumed the inside and I delivered it back to him. And boy, he was thrilled. That's the way we ought to treat the Holy Spirit, by the way. He's only borrowed. He's on loan to us as long as we're in this life. And we ought to take care of what God has loaned us. When He gives us power, we ought to praise God for that. When was the last time you had answered prayer? I mean, something that you cannot explain any other way than God did it. When was the last time when you spoke to someone about the Lord Jesus Christ and they receive Christ as their Savior? Every Saturday we go out and knock on doors. And we've had some phenomenal success lately because we used to be in Princeton, New Jersey, where all the atheists and the university professors and all those people are up there. But now our church has moved further south toward Trenton, New Jersey. And now we're in middle class area and we knock on doors down there. And it's amazing how many people have received Christ as their Savior. But we're not taking that for granted. We realize that we never know. If we do not allow the Holy Spirit of God to lead us, nothing's going to happen. That'll stop just like that. But I thank God that the power of the Holy Spirit of God through the Word of God convicts people's heart. And so we ought to take care of that power as long as God is allowing us to have it. We need to guard that which does not belong to us, but that which is borrowed to serve the Lord with. The most humbling thought about being a Christian should be this, that God's perfect third member of the Trinity, The Holy Spirit of God indwells us. He lives there. He has to see what we see. He has to experience what we experience. He has to go where we go. And we need to be careful with that which is on loan to us, the Holy Spirit of God. And when I say Holy Spirit, it scares me to know that if I sit and listen or watch something or do something that is not quite clean or holy, then He's offended. It's called quenching the Holy Spirit of God. Quenching is like when you have a fire and you want to put it out and you throw water on it and the fire goes out. That's what happens when we expose the Holy Spirit to something which is unholy. Or we can grieve Him because He's a person. Did you hear that? You know the Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe that. The Mormons don't believe that. They believe the Holy Spirit is some kind of a power or energy. No, the Bible calls Him a person. And that person lives inside of you if you're saved. And He wants to control you. He wants to control your mind, your body, your thoughts, your movements, every place you go and so forth and so on. But you know what happens? Our prayer life becomes routine. I have a prayer list that every day I pray for. Your pastor and his wife are on that prayer list. And I pray for them every single day. And I have this prayer list, but you know what? If I'm not careful, I just go down the list. You know, pray for Brother Freeman. Pray for Pastor Lagaprusha. Pray for you. Pastor Hayes, by the way, is not doing good. Pastor Hayes down in Galena. And I first pray for all these preachers. And I'll tell you how backslidden I am. I even pray for Harry every day. And I really do. I have his name on my prayer list. I know he lost his wife. I can't imagine what it would be like if I lost my wife. And so I pray for him that God's people and the Holy Spirit will make up the loss that he's had and so forth. Now, when your prayer life becomes routine and you just repeat names, it doesn't mean anything. And our most dangerous time is just when God is blessing our lives. We got to be careful, folks. You came to church this morning. What's going to happen this afternoon? I can tell you what. A ball game will be on TV. You're a football fan, right? Of course, not the Steelers, right? Oh. He just ruined the whole service. All the spirituality went out of this place. But he never stays home to watch a football game. By the way, we need to get our priorities straight in the Christian life. This man, by the way, he was doing the right thing. He's chopping away. He's going to build a building to house the sons of the prophets. And then he loses his power because he got too close to the water when he was cutting. And we need to be careful. We need to guard it. People sin more when they're on vacation than when they're at home. We had a policy. I used to drive my kids nuts. We'd go somewhere on vacation and they'd say, "Dad, we know it's Sunday, but do we really have to go to church? We're on vacation." I'd say, "You know better than to ask the question. It's Wednesday night, Dad. Are you serious? Come on. Nobody will know." I say, "Yeah, somebody will know. He lives within me. He knows. And I don't want to grieve him." Now, we may sleep, but Satan never sleeps. And God never sleeps. And God is watching us all the time. There's a chorus that I've been singing this week, and all of a sudden, I forget it. But it has to do with the fact that wherever I go, whatever I do, God is watching all the time. And I have to keep reminding myself of that. You may not know what I do. Pastor Gilmore may not know what I do, but God, the Holy Spirit, knows what I do. You know, in Judges chapter 16:20, we have the story of Samson, the weak, strong man. And, you know, Delilah had tempted him several times, and And he gave her false information to bind him and so forth. And then finally, she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And the Bible says, and he awoke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as other times before and shake myself." And then it says, and he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. And he couldn't break the bonds that bound him. You know, he lost his eyes as a result of that. You know, he lost his ministry as a result of that. See, he was cutting too close to the water. He was playing around with something that was going to defeat him, no matter how strong he was physically. And the Spirit of God departed from him. And they put out his eyes. And he ended up grinding in the mill, just like an oxen. Now, we need to recognize something. God's axe-head of power can be regained. You say, "I'm sitting here this morning, preacher, and I don't have the power of God on me. I haven't led anybody to Christ, and who knows when. I haven't received any specific answers to prayer, and I can't remember how long it's been." What you better recognize this. Number one, recognize that your power is gone. Before you can get it back, you need to know you don't have it. I read about how turkeys are killed in the slaughterhouse. I never knew this. They put them on a conveyor belt. Here's all these turkeys, and they're on this conveyor belt, and they're going, and there's a sharp wire right at their neck level. And as they're going down, all of a sudden, the turkey in front of this turkey loses his head. And who's next? By the way, I have a warning for you. Don't be a turkey. Don't follow the crowd. Don't go along with, whatever the world's trying to pull you into. And the guy, the turkey who just watched the other guy's head get cut off says, "Man, it must be catching. Look at all those dead turkeys up there." Yeah, it is catching, and he's next. And you're next. Because the devil has you on a conveyor belt. And he wants to cut off the head of your power with the Holy Spirit of God. You may not realize that missing Sunday school. And by the way, a lot of you missed Sunday school this morning. Shame on you. I can say that because I'm not the pastor, see? I'm going to be leaving tonight. It doesn't matter. I'll just leave it for him to fix up. But listen, you ought to be in Sunday school. It's the Lord's day. It's not your day. We had to get up very early this morning to get ready. I have to help my wife get ready and have to remember all the stuff. And I did forget something, but I didn't tell her yet. And then we get ready and we have to drive an hour and a half to come here. And I mean, we could have just said, "Well, we can't do that anymore." In fact, my kids are telling me, "Don't go more than a half hour away, because you were 2 hours away when you were in Cape May when you had that TIA and that TGA, and we felt like we had to come to your rescue." I said, "You didn't. I drove home. I spent a day in the hospital, and then I got out of the hospital, we drove home." Listen, keep on doing whatever God is blessing. Don't allow some minor distraction to keep you from doing what God wants you to do. And above all, don't keep chopping away with no axe head. You know? It's not going to cut down any trees. Wood don't cut wood. The axe head cuts wood. The axe head represents the Spirit of God and His power in your life. Number two, return to the place where you lost it. Remember why you are not as spiritual as you used to be and go back to that place. I have a message entitled, do what you did to be what you were. Remember what you used to be and how on fire for God you used to be, what a soul winner you used to be, how much Bible you used to feed upon, how many church services you used to attend a week, know exactly where you lost your power and go back there. Oh, remember, you can't get it back by yourself. It's a spiritual thing. It's something you got to go to the Lord for. It's God's Holy Spirit. And you need to go to God. And by the way, if you need help with this, seek out God's man or some godly Christian that you know who will help you get back the power of God. Another one. Reclaim the axe head when it is found. I want you to look at the verse 6, please. It says, and the man of God said, that's Elisha, he said, where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut down the stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. In my Bible, over top of the word stick, I put a cross. Because that's what that represents. You got to go back to the cross to get back your power. And this man went to the man of God first, and most likely, the man of God is going to be the one who will lead you in the right direction to get back your power. You may not like me saying this, but it's true. Today, I'm God's man for this service. Amen. Now, he's God's man for this church. Amen. But I'm God's man for this service. I'm trying to help you this morning. I'm trying to help you get back the lost axe head of your power, the Holy Spirit of God and his power. He says, alas, master. He said, it was borrowed, and he knew it. And then, replace the axe head on the handle. When you reclaim it, you put it back on the handle, and then you take it. The Bible says here in verse 6, he says he cut down his stick and cast it within, cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore said he, the prophet said to this boy who had lost the axe head of his power, take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it. The iron did swim. It takes supernatural power to get the iron to swim. But the axe head swam that day because God wanted this young man to have the axe head of power. God's power is available always, but it is useless to the believer without the handle, and the handle is the believer. And God wants to use you, and he wants to fill you with his Spirit. And then resume your former service. Do what you did to be what you were. Go back in your mind. Go back to that time when you had God's power on your life, when God was blessing you. Go back there and get that power back and allow him to use you once again the way he wants to use you. Start chopping again. That's what God wants you to do. He wants you to do his work. Souls are still lost. People are still in need. God still wants to use you. The harvest is great and the laborers are still few. Amen, brother? The laborers are still few. So, question. Have you lost your cutting edge? You've been cutting too close to the water? Is the Bible no longer exciting to you? You came this morning, maybe you're hoping that the preaching the Word of God is going to get to you, but it really doesn't hold any thrill or excitement for you any longer. Is your prayer life weak? Do you have any real answers, specific answers to prayer that you can only explain because God is in it? Is the church just a duty? Are you only here because it's Sunday morning? You say, well, we don't have services on Monday. How about Sunday night? How about Wednesday night? How many of you do not come back on Wednesday night? Shame on you. See, I can say that and get away with it. I'm leaving tonight. Is soul winning missing in your life? Part of the reason the Holy Spirit of God indwells you is so God can use you to reach the lost people. Somebody reached you. Now, you have a responsibility to pass it on. Is the world more attractive than the things of God? Is that television program more important to you, that ball game or whatever it is that you watch? Is that more important to you than coming back tonight or Wednesday night? Is preaching boring to you now? Used to come excited. I'll tell you, here's the way I go to church. And this, I'm not trying to be a super saint here. But I get up on Sunday morning and say, woo! Glory to God, I get to go to church and hear the man of God preach the Word of God. I mean, I love my pastor. I love his preaching. I want to hear what he has to say that God has laid on his heart for me. I don't sit in the back row. My wife and I sit on the front row. Just like your preacher's doing right now. Have you stopped serving? Have you stopped going soul winning? Have you stopped helping other people? The slogan for our church was a church with a heart. Sometimes people took advantage of that. You know, everybody who came through town would see that advertisement and they'd say, hey, maybe they're a soft touch. Well, we learned how to avoid the fakers and sort out the real people who had real needs and help them. Do you have any deaf people in the area? Do you even know? If there's some deaf person in the area, why don't you maybe bake some cookies for them? They would be flabbergasted if you showed up at their, you don't even know them. You show up at their door and hand them some cookies. You say, I don't do sign language. I can't communicate. Oh, you just communicated that you have a heart for them. Any blind people in the area? Some of you ladies could go and clean the house for the blind. They can't do it. How about people in the nursing home? I mean, there are so many areas of service. Find out what you can do and be enthusiastic about doing it. That's what Christians are supposed to be about. It's not about us, it's about them. Let me ask this last question and we're done. Have you lost your axe head of God's power? Have you ever had it? Have you ever been filled with the Spirit of God? You need to get it back. Without God's power, we're just as useless as the unsaved world. Did you hear me? We're no better than the lost people. We need God's power to witness, to pray, to serve. Won't you get it back today if you've lost it? Let's stand quietly, please. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Now, before I go any further, I want your head bowed and eyes closed, please. I'm going to ask if your heads are bowed, please. Your eyes are closed. Please, ma'am, thank you. Thank you. Right now, I'm going to ask if you do not know Christ as your personal Savior, God has something wonderful to impart to you today, and it is the Holy Spirit of God. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to know for sure before you leave this building that when you die, you'll go to heaven. And I know this message was for Christians, not for the unsaved. But for the unsaved who are here, he wants you to just say, yes, Lord, I want you as my Savior. I hope you'll do that. In just a moment, I'll give you a chance to do exactly that. I wonder if you're a Christian, and God the Holy Spirit has spoken to you about the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God, and you don't feel that you have that right now, but that's what you long for. That's what you want. Your heart longs to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit of God. I wonder if you would just slip out right now and just come down here to the front as the organist begins to play. Would you just slip out from where you are and come on down here? God bless you. Thank you, sir. God bless you, ma'am. God bless you. You say, wait a minute, preacher. Are you saying I'm not saved? No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying if you are saved, you really ought to want the fullness of the Spirit. Come on. That's okay. Come on. We want you here. Come on. Don't listen. Listen to what God says, okay? God is telling you to come. Come on. All right, come on. I'm waiting on you. Amen. God bless you. God bless you, ma'am. Thank you. Who else? Say, preacher, I don't think that I am filled with the Spirit of God today, but I want to be. It's what God wants. It's what I want. Why don't you come, please? God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. Young people, adults, God bless you. Thank God. Be humble enough before God Almighty. Humble yourself and allow the Holy Spirit of God to come into your life with power. You say, from now on, I'm going to be in Sunday school. I'm going to be in evening service. I'm going to be out for soul winning. I'm going to be on a bus ride. Whatever God tells you to do, on the Lord's day, I'll be where I'm supposed to be. Why don't you come right now? I'm waiting on you. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, would you come right now, please? Would you just pray this simple prayer? If you're not sure that you're saved, pray this simple prayer. Dear Father, I ask you for the Holy Spirit of God to indwell me. I want to be saved today. I want to know that when I leave this place, if I should die, I'll go immediately to heaven. If you'll pray that prayer, raise your hand. If you prayed that prayer, slip up your hand, please. Yes, God bless you, ma'am. Amen. Would you come on down here, please? Would you come down here? God bless you. This lady just raised her hand. Okay. Anybody else? Come on. Somebody here does not know Christ as Savior. Would you come? Thank God for this young lady down here. The Holy Spirit of God spoke to her. She came. And the rest of you came forward. I'm going to close in prayer. Dear Father in heaven, I thank you so much for your goodness. I thank you for speaking to people's hearts. I thank you for speaking to my heart. And I ask you now, Lord, to continue to work in hearts and lives. We'll thank and praise you for what you'll do. In Jesus' wonderful and matchless name I pray. Amen and amen. Preacher.